The film Dallas Buyers Club has been getting a lot of attention for its portrayal of the early days of AIDS, when treatments were few and just about impossible to obtain. Key to the story is the unlikely partnership and ultimate friendship that develops between Ron, a macho womanizing electrician and rodeo cowboy played by Matthew McConaughey, and Rayon, a transgender woman. Jared Leto gives an unforgettable performance as Rayon. In fact, he has just won the best supporting actor award from the New York Film Critics Circle.
And that just happened minutes ago.
So there we go. We're right on top of the news. This is a breaking story.
It is.
I'm delighted that you could join us.
Thank you. I just found out in your waiting room that I had won.
Congratulations. So do you go to an award ceremony?
I think there is one in January, yeah.
How long did you remain in character for this role?
The entire shoot.
I mean, you went home?
Well, I was staying at a hotel. So I didn't go home really, but it wasn't the sort of thing you could just take off the tights or the heels and leave behind. You know, I'd lost 30 or 40 pounds, and there were a lot of things that I was carrying with me I just wasn't willing to let go of.
You lost the 40 pounds because you were the character was HIV, had HIV/AIDS. But Matthew McConaughey also lost weight, didn't he?
Yeah.
50 pounds, and he wasn't supposed to have AIDS.
You know, losing weight is an interesting thing. It changes the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you think, the way people treat you. So it's a great tool. It's a great asset.
But people do forget that when you have AIDS, you become thin as a rail.
Yeah, and I was also playing someone who is hopelessly addicted to drugs as well. So it was an important thing to do.
And now you have a beard. Did it feel strange to suddenly dress as a man again after the shoot was over?
It did. It was. I got used to wearing nice flowing dresses, but I also waxed my entire body, so it's bizarre to have a beard again too.
Is it true that you only met the director Jean-Marc Vallée as Jared Leto at the premiere of the film? Did he recognize you?
That is true. Both the director and Matthew McConaughey.
Did they recognize you?
I think they did recognize me, but they were kind of uncertain of who I was.
Well, did spending all that time as a woman affect the way that you saw the way men and women interact?
After the shoot. I know what it feels like to get hit on now. The grips were certainly a lot friendlier than usual. It was the role of a lifetime. It really taught me a lot.
Well, it came after you had not worked for a while in films because you just couldn't pass up on this role?
Yeah, I had taken almost 6 years away from acting, and I was focusing on 30 Seconds to Mars, my band, and we were touring the world and had more success than we ever dreamed was possible. So, a lot of time off, and I read this script and was seduced.
Although you had had some success in films before, Requiem for a Dream, Prefontaine, The Thin Red Line, Fight Club, more recently Mr. Nobody, and now this. How do you go about researching a part like this?
I listen. I learn, I study, read, watch, try to find some truth to hold on to.
The screenwriter, Melissa Wallach, has said that, I'm quoting, "In Rayon, we wanted to create a character who struggled with wanting to live and wanting to die. Ron never struggled with that. He was determined to live." But what was behind Rayon's struggle?
I think she was always looking for love. I think at a certain point she realized that she was doomed, that she wasn't going to make it. And she poured all her heart and energy into this relationship and into this Dallas Buyers Club. And it gave her purpose in life.
Well, Texas in the 1980s must have been a particularly difficult place to be either a homosexual or a transsexual. I gather it isn't always so friendly even today. Especially somebody with AIDS. In New York, we had a lot of hostility to people who were HIV positive until the public kind of figured out what was going on. But Rayon has great light within her. Where does that come from?
I don't know. I have no idea.
But you still gave us that sense in portraying this character.
Well, I just thought that she was desperate to love and be loved and had a really kind and open heart and wanted to share it with the world.
This is also one of those odd couple kinds of stories. Matthew McConaughey's Ron seems like the most improbable person to ever become associated in any way with someone like Rayon.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's kind of like Midnight Cowboy, but in Texas.
Did you and the director, Jean-Marc Vallée, develop a backstory for Rayon?
We did, quite a long one. And you do that sort of thing so that you kind of feel that there's a real person on screen, not just an outline.
And Rayon is much more affectionate with Dr. Sachs, who's played by Jennifer Garner.
Mm.
She does connect to her.
Yeah, they're like sisters in a way. And she really gives an understated, beautiful performance. And you know, I was really grateful to her. She really helped me do what I did in the film.
Did people give you any tips on playing a woman?
Yeah, many people. You know, I met with transgendered people, and they really taught me a lot. And of course, I had a few women in my life to learn from, just a couple.
And Jean-Marc has said that you had a very precise vision for Rayon. Who came up with the style of dress?
Oh, we had a great team. We had great wardrobe and hair and makeup. And, you know, it takes a village sometimes to raise a little lady like that. So, you know, the transformation, I think everyone was really invested in Rayon, in the character. Everyone felt a lot of ownership. And, you know, I was happy to take everyone's contribution.
Wasn't the movie based on a real-life person named Ron Woodruff, who'd been given 30 days to live?
Yeah, it was. And, you know, I was thankful that my character was an amalgamation. She was an imagining, and that gave me a lot of freedom.
What was the way that the Dallas Buyers Club worked?
Well, people would get together and they would pay a monthly fee rather than pay specifically for the drugs. So there was a bit of a loophole there.
It's like a CSA for drugs.
Yeah.
So this is because they had to buy drugs illegally, drugs that the United States had not yet cleared for use,
exactly.
Even though people were dying.
Exactly. Experimental drugs, drugs that weren't available in the U.S., so they would buy them overseas.
Do you know if there were other buyers clubs elsewhere?
Yeah, there were. I think the first one was in New York City.
My guest is Jared Leto, who stars as Rayon in the Dallas Buyers Club in theaters throughout the area, as they say. You mentioned your group, 30 Seconds to Mars. Do you come from a musical family?
I come from a family of hippies and convicts. You know,
that's perfect preparation for playing a transsexual.
A couple of drug addicts and alcoholics in there too, just to mix it up. Circus performer, but yeah, I'm in a band, 30 Seconds to Mars. Today's actually a big day as well for that side of my life. We have a brand new documentary that just was released a couple of hours ago on iTunes. It's called Artifact, and it's about our battle with the record business. And specifically our record company, EMI, who sued us for $30 million.
Why did they sue you? You've had four records, all multi-platinum.
Because corporations are evil. They don't care about people.
So, more and more performers are creating their own companies and releasing their CDs that way.
Yeah. I mean, I still think a record company can be a great thing, a team of people around the world helping you to realize your vision. But in our case, we had a ton of success, sold millions of albums, and then found out that we would never be paid a single penny, and also were millions of dollars in debt. So we started to look into
even
it.
Even EMI, which had the Beatles?
Yeah.
I guess they paid the Beatles.
You know what? You never know.
Your brother Shannon Leto is also in the group?
Yeah. And, you know, we tell that story about what it was like to, fight the power. As it may be, an artifact, and excited. It took 5 years to make that documentary, and it's finally out on iTunes today.
When you're working on a film, do you miss playing music? Or when you're playing music, do you miss acting?
No, not really. I've been behind the camera a lot the past 10 years, directing, editing.
Under another name?
Yeah.
You are Bartholomew Cubbins, right?
Yes.
Why not just do the James Franco thing and put your name on everything?
You know, I actually just interviewed him for a short film that I directed, inspired by a song called City of Angels. And he was wonderful. But he talked about that. He goes, you have one life. You don't know what's going to happen or if you have a chance to do any of this again. So why not do what you want to do? Do what you love.
So you're one of those people who also wants to direct?
Well, I do direct. Uh-huh. And, Artifact is also a film I directed. And it won the Toronto Film Festival Documentary Award and the Gotham Award last year. Mm. And it was just released finally on iTunes today. I've been directing quite a bit over the past 10 years.
You also did television. You were in My So-Called Life as Jordan Catalano with Claire Danes. Mm. You must be pleased to see that she's doing so well with Homeland.
Yeah, it's great. It's wonderful.
Did you know at that time that she was such a complete actress?
Oh, yeah. She was talented. It's hard to miss that when people either have it or they don't.
Where does the name of your band come from?
It comes from a professor who was writing a paper. I guess he was at Harvard or somewhere, about the advancement of technology.
So 30 seconds to Mars?
Yeah. Strange one, right?
I'm just not sure how 30 seconds to Mars comes out of that.
I think he was talking in a metaphorical sense that one day, kind of in the way that Andy Warhol said, in the future we'll all be famous for 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. He was saying, talking about 30 seconds to Mars, that one day everything will be that close.
And then the name Bartholomew Cubbins?
That just came from my favorite Dr. Seuss book. And it was really a way for me to work without having some anonymity. And then I continued as kind of a joke. It's the worst kept secret now.
I want to include something that Richard Corliss wrote in Time magazine. He said about your performance, Leto captures the sweet intensity and almost saintly good humor of a glamorous, poignant, and downright divoon creature, a blithe Camille who may surrender her health, but never her panache.
Wow. That's incredible.
Do you read your own reviews?
No, I've never heard that. That's actually very, very humbling to hear that.
And now that you have had this success with this film, are you going to go back to making more movies? I mean, other than directing?
I would love to find movies that were as special as this. I mean, it would be an incredible thing.
Well, what about the other films you've done, like Requiem for a Dream, The Thin Red Line, Fight Club, Mr. Nobody? Are any of them more meaningful to you than others?
Well, I think all of those films, you start with a great intention. You want to make something special, something creative, something wonderful, and share it with people. It doesn't always turn out that way. But when they do turn out special, like some of those films, it's a nice thing.
Well, a number of them were directed by really good directors.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that you also learn from watching them do what they do.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, whether it's Darren Aronofsky or David Fincher or Terrence Malick, is certainly a great chance to learn from the best.
Well, I understand that you had a rather difficult audition with Terrence Malick.
I did, yeah.
What happened?
Oh, I just remember it was a funny audition because he wasn't in the room. He was in Australia prepping the film. But they had turned over a sofa and asked me to kind of hide behind a sofa in an office and shoot imaginary bullets at an unseen foe. And me and another actor were kind of paired up, and we were doing it for a minute. And I just stood up in the middle and I said, I can't do this. I feel like it's a bad high school play. And I'm sure at that point I was struck by thousands of imaginary rounds from my opponent. But I ended up walking out and just saying thank you for the time. And then I got a call from Malick, hey, will you do this film?
So obviously auditions don't really matter if they want you.
I mean, I guess not.
Do you still have to audition?
I didn't really have an official audition for Dallas Buyers Club, but I did have a Skype. I had this Skype meeting, and I knew it was a bit of a test So, and also I wanted to use it as a test for myself to see if I had anything to offer, to see if I liked the director. So I connected via Skype. I was in Berlin at the time, and I grabbed some lipstick and I put it on, and the director, of course, was kind of shocked. And then I took off my jacket and I had a little pink sweater on, and then I proceeded to flirt with him for about 20 minutes. I woke up the next day with the official offer. So I guess it worked.
Well, Dustin Hoffman never played a woman after Tootsie. Can you see yourself wind up being cast in more of these kinds of roles, typecast?
Oh, my Lord. Could you imagine? No, I think I've said what I had to say, and I'm going to retire my heels and tights forever.
But again, congratulations for just being voted Best Supporting Actor by the New York Film Critics Circle.
Thank you.
For your role as Rayon in the Dallas Buyers Club. The film is in theaters all over the area. It's got wonderful reviews, and you've gotten particularly great reviews.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being on our show.
It's my absolute pleasure. Appreciate it.